fire. Well, that's inspiring, right? And everybody was out there. I thought y'all were going to get up and start swaying in a minute. So, I hope we're all in the glory land way today. Thanks be to God as we hear from the word of the Lord. This is also, interestingly, Star Wars Sunday. And I thought about coming as a Jedi, then I figured, no, maybe not. But I did bring my lightsaber, right? So let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. So I'm actually going to be reading John 6, 25 through 35, verses 25 through 35. So hear now the word of the Lord. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for a food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they ask him, what must we do? The works of that God requires. And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they ask him, what sign will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. I'm also thankful for the rainfall that has come. There have been many days, and maybe it's a sign of aging for me, but Friday night I knew the rain was coming, and I stayed up. I stayed up till past 11 o'clock to hear the rainfall, just to hear the rainfall, but I fell asleep. But thankful that the rain has come. A shower's a blessing that God has given to us. As we think about this scripture today and Jesus' title of being the bread of life, Jesus is using a normal and common earthly element as bread to teach a powerful and spiritual and eternal truth. This is almost parabolic-like in that he's taking a common element as he normally did in the parables. And he's reminded of a Sunday school teacher who asked one of her students as they've been working on the parables to define or describe what a parable was. A little boy in the back of it raised his hand up and he said, I know a parable is a heavenly story that has no earthly meaning. Well, it had the words there, but kind of incorrect. It's an earthly story that has a profound spiritual and heavenly meaning. And in this case, Jesus is using bread, common element that everybody's familiar with, common object in our world, to teach a profound spiritual and eternal truth. There's probably nothing that smells better in the air and the atmosphere of the kitchen than freshly baked bread. Fragrance can fill the whole house and create quite an appetite. And even as I say this, probably a good many of us had some type of bread this morning. Whether you had toast or eggs, bagels, danishes, waffles, perhaps some this morning. I actually had some French toast this morning. Another occasion, seeing a freshly made donut at Krispy Kreme. We enjoy bread when we eat lunch or sandwiches, rolls perhaps in the evening with supper. My grandmother made cornbread and probably ate it twice a day for lunch and for supper. She lived to be 94. Her two sisters lived to be 101. Some would say, well, that's good genes. I thought maybe it's good cornbread. I'm claiming the cornbread. But bread is an important part of our lives, and it has been throughout history. we equate bread with food in general. Even as we say, even the terminology today, well, let's break some bread together. Let's have lunch or supper, whatever it might be. Let's break bread together. And obviously, culmination of this, we'll be talking about later, is the Lord's Supper, where we're literally breaking bread together. And America is often called the breadbasket of the world. The resources that we have is incredible. Well, here Jesus is using the word, stating, I am the bread of life. And the person of Jesus, as with John and all the Gospels, particularly John's Gospel, is called the Gospel of Belief. And right in the middle of this passage, John is teaching us that the work that God requires, the work that they were looking to do, he was saying, that work he's already accomplished. They simply had to believe on him, trust in him, the one that God has sent. And the one that God has sent, Jesus identifies here himself in the category of God with these I am statements that we've been talking about and continue to talk about, places him in the category of God. And here he says, I am the bread of life. There's so much in this passage to reflect over and find application for in our lives. But the essence of it is to identify Jesus as God's provision for the world, to simply believe on and trust in Christ as the only one who can save us, sustain us, and bring eternal life to us. Beyond all of the passing elements of this world, no matter how good they are, no matter how pleasant they are passing pleasures. Jesus is the true source of life and the only one who can give life. And by calling himself the bread of life, Jesus is pointing to the greater reality that we may not be able to always see with our physical eyes, but no less, it has an eternal and spiritual meaning. The immediate context of this passage, just prior to this, one of the signs in John's gospel is that Jesus fed 5,000, a multitude. A sign or a miracle that Jesus and that John is using in his gospel for us to believe that Jesus is who he says he is. And those 5,000 were in a place of need. They were hungry. Some of them probably in great need and great hunger. Many of the people in that crowd may have only eaten one meal a day and meat only once a week. That would have been contextually probably accurate for most of the people who were hearing these words of Jesus. So many of the people in the crowd were very hungry, and numerous ones of them. And it's hard to imagine for us living in the breadbasket of the world, being in a community of prosperity, with a restaurant on nearly every block. It's hard for us to imagine that hunger is a reality for some. I looked up some statistics, and I did this almost a year ago, of hunger in the United States. It's quite surprising. It says 1 in 8 households experience food insecurity. And 10 states that facing the most hunger, I'm put them up there on the screen, from Mississippi down to Missouri, most of those are in the Southeast. Here in our own home state of Alabama, my home state of West Virginia, all of them in the nearly in the Southeast or the Midwest. But as I look over that, I would say as we think about this in our own lives, there's probably any or nobody in the room today has faced a situation where you were hungry, where you needed food to survive. It's interesting that we were here meeting in this food pantry to provide people for people in need where there is food scarcity or insecurity. Further, we help in the missional efforts of Kids Eats, a program that provides for food for children who are in need in our community and partnering with our schools. Now, they had their fundraiser yesterday. I hope y'all did well with that. So in our own little bubble here, we can pass by needs. And some of them probably right here off of Highway 31, where we say people are hidden in plain sight for us. But the situation in the scripture here is quite different, because there was a visible crowd of 5,000 people, a multitude of people who were in need. Very visible, very plain. And so Jesus saw the need, the visible need. And I want you to note something of great importance here. He saw the need and he was not going to send them away hungry. But he looked over at his disciples, and this is almost a humorous part of this that John gives us. He looked over at his disciples and he says to them, "Okay, guys, give them something to eat." 5,000 people. And they're out in the middle of nowhere, so to speak. And Jesus says to the disciples, "Hey guys, give them something to eat. We're not going to send them away hungry." And Philip, one of the disciples, said, "Lord, you can't be serious." This is an amplified version of this, okay? "You can't be serious. How in the world can we do this? How do you think we can feed these 5,000 people? There's no resources here." And the scripture says that Jesus did that to test them. To test them because he already knew what he was going to do. Remember, he is the bread of life, right? Of course, we know how that story unfolded. Found the boy, 5 loaves, 2 fish. They sat down to eat. And the scripture says, everyone was filled. Everyone was filled. This wasn't an appetizer. This wasn't a little snack. This wasn't a semblance of food. It says they were filled. 5,000. 5 loaves and 2 fish. As a matter of fact, they were filled. And in it, the scripture says, how many baskets were left over? 12. 12. Well, there's a lot of thought behind that. Well, why was there 12? Maybe he was reinforcing to the 12 disciples who were wondering how in the world this was going to happen. How in the world are we going to feed all these people? Well, here he... "You got your own basket, Philip." Wow. So he's saying, as the prelude to what he's saying here later about being the bread of life. There are many parallels here of the feeding of the 5,000 with the children in the wilderness, the Israelites in the wilderness. The Israelites were in the wilderness, a place where there was scarcity of resources for food and water. And you may remember that the people were angry. Because they wanted bread, they wanted food. We sometimes talk about people getting hangry because they're angry when they're hungry. But that's a pretty common human experience. Well, the Israelites were well beyond being hangry. They were actually going to stone Moses. They were going to kill him, thinking, "You've led us out here in the wilderness where there are no graves in Egypt that you brought us out here to die." And God did something, again, miraculous here. It was an impossible situation, and he rained down manna from heaven. Literal bread from heaven. What an amazing supply. Multitudes of people with the Israelites coming out of Egyptian bondage. And the manna provided for them, and then they got tired of the bread and started wanting meat. And God even provided meat and quail for them to eat. I love what Paul Cho, the founder of the largest church in the world, full gospel church in Seoul, South Korea, he asked the question, "How many quail do you think the children of Israel would have gotten if they'd gone quail hunting?" The answer is zero. Zero. As you come back to this story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, we say that it was an impossible situation, as Philip surmised that it was. But here in the midst of all of that is the provision of God. And Jesus identifying himself saying, "Hey, I am the bread of life." He is the Savior and sustainer of our world. John is telling us that Jesus is who he says he is, the bread of life. But I want you to notice something else here, and perhaps the greatest truth in this. As Jesus is drawing awareness to the motivation behind why the people were following him. And he says this very candidly in a statement that he makes in verses 26 and 27. Let's go back to those verses. He says, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." With the crowd's motivation in coming to Jesus, they crossed over on the other side of the sea or the Galilean Lake to find Jesus. And he said that your motivation in coming and seeking after me was because you had your bellies filled. Everybody's looking for a free meal, right? I mean, you would get in line, particularly if food was scarce and you knew where to find some food, you would stand in line to get that, or you'd be following others who knew where to find it. I would be standing in line for food even if I wasn't hungry, if it was free. And Jesus is saying, why are you seeking after me? And if I were to ask you today, why are you following Christ? I wonder how you'd really respond to that. I hope it's not just because of what he may give you in terms of the physical stuff of life. Jesus said in verse 27 again, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life." He says, you're filling your lives with things that will not last. And you're only seeking after me because of the provision I gave you across the lake. And you want more. In another event in Jesus' life, speaking about food and drink, Jesus spoke to the woman at the well two chapters earlier in John 4. Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, and he said, if you drink from the water that I give you, you'll never thirst again. His disciples came back and wanted Jesus to eat because he hadn't eaten. And here's what he said to them in John 4. He said, my meat and drink is to do the will of my Father. He placed priority on the real manna from heaven. He was placing priority on eternal things versus temporal things in life. Let's recall another story in Jesus' life involving food and bread. Remember, he fasted for 40 days before he was tempted. And the devil came and tempted him. And one of the first temptations was to turn the stone to bread. Again, he had not eaten in 40 days. So he was famished. He was hungry. This was a real temptation. A severe temptation. But Jesus' words were simply this: man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Father, that comes from God. Jesus was essentially telling the devil, the manna and bread from God is my priority. The food that fed the multitude came from God. The food that we have comes from God. But our first priority is always focusing on the person of Christ more than the provision that he gives. John is emphasizing that we seek the person of Christ and believe and trust in the person of Christ more than the provision that he may bring us. Simply put, it is seek the person of Jesus and you will receive his provision. Be careful not to reverse the order. Seek his kingdom first, and all these other things will be added to you. In the Beatitude, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. This is speaking about spiritual hunger and thirst, not just physical hunger, right? But what I find is, very often we're not hungry spiritually. And why are we not hungry spiritually? Because we're already full. We're already full. But we're full of the wrong bread. This was true for my children. This is true for my grandchildren. So often we have to coax our children, our grandchildren, eat the best food first. You're going to ruin your appetite if you eat this junk food first. You need to eat the good food first before you get to the other, or you ruin your appetite. Your hunger will be taken by that which does not, cannot satisfy. Notice what Jesus says later in this chapter, speaking about the people who received the manna from heaven. Verse 49. He says, "Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down out of heaven so that anyone may eat from it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats from this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I will give for the life of the world also is my flesh." It's very similar to what Jesus said to the woman at the well. "If you drink from the water that I give you, you will never thirst again." If we're not careful, we will find ourselves giving our time and our resources and working for food that spoils, food that will not last. We become like the woman in the well, and the great song says, "I was thirsting for the things in life that could not satisfy." People may be filled, but they're still empty. They have plenty of bread and food and physical stuff of life, but they're really not satisfied. Why is that? Because they're missing the bread of life. A relative in our family had everything you could want in life. More than a couple of homes, a nice boat, an RV, could travel anywhere he wanted to go. But he was perhaps one of the most miserable men I've ever known. The relationships in his life were in shambles. He had a nominal faith in Christ, but a lot like these people who were seeking for Jesus to get their bellies filled. He never truly embraced Christ. He only knew about Christ. He only followed Christ from a distance. He never hungered and thirsted after righteousness. His life was spent more on frivolous things in his life, and he was full, but he was empty. Nikki Gumbel, the founder of the Alpha series, noted the points of the session, "Who is Jesus?" He quoted Prince Charles, who says, "There remains deep in the soul, if I dare use that word, a persistent and unconscious anxiety that something is missing. Something, some ingredient that makes life worth living." And that is the bread of life. Bernard Levin, "There's a hole inside them that however much food and drink they pour into it," listen to what he says here, "however many motor cars and television sets they stuff with it, and however well-balanced children and loyal friends they parade around the edges of it, it aches." St. Augustine said, "We are restless, forever restless, and we will not rest till we rest in God." Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." I love the advertisement. I don't even know the name of the restaurant that says, "Are you ready for some real food? Are you ready for some real bread? The only kind that can truly satisfy our soul. We get to receive it today as we break bread together from the one who is the bread of life. Let us pray. Lord, we confess that often our lives are taken by perishing things. Often, Lord, we give our time and resources to things that are not worthy. And sometimes and often leave us feeling empty. Forgive us, Lord, even as we come to this holy meal today, to be reminded that you're the bread of life. You're the only one that can truly satisfy our soul. You're the only one who can really bring us eternal life, even as we have the promise of sharing this meal with you in glory. Lord, help us to receive by faith today and feast on the bread of heaven. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to the communion room,